I'd just like to wish you a happy Feast of the Immaculate Conception. This is always one of my most favorite feast days of the whole year. And it always takes me back to my time in Philadelphia at St. Charles. And probably the two most beautiful liturgical times in the seminary were when we did our 40 hours from November 1st to November 4th, which is the Feast of St. Charles. And then the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. We'd always, beforehand, we'd have Office of Readings, the vigil for it, the extended vigil. And we'd chant it, and it would be beautiful, and we'd have the Te Deum, and all in candlelight. And then a lot of times the guys that were preparing to do the total consecration to Jesus through Mary of St. Louis Marie de Montfort, they would do it after that. And then at midnight, we'd have a midnight mass, and again, kind of a candlelight ceremony. And it was just kind of like heaven coming down to earth. And it was just so beautiful. I think it was my second year there, there was actually there was a Dominican sister in Washington. We had always had the feast day off December 8th. We didn't have class on that day. So we had midnight mass, so we had our mass obligation to get prepared for the day. And so she was making her final profession. She was originally from, Utica. Her mom makes the best kolaches. They are so good. Rosemary's kolaches. Oh my gosh. Anyway, never mind. I'm getting off on another tangent. But, I went down there that one year, and then the following, 2 years I would go down there for their mass. And it was just a beautiful day, just to be able to spend in prayer with the sisters and just to receive those special graces. And as I said, we celebrate the feast day of the Immaculate Conception, which is the conception of Mary in the womb of her mother Anne, and by natural conception, her father was Joachim. And I think sometimes there's a little bit of confusion. Sometimes people think that Immaculate Conception refers to the conception of Jesus, which it doesn't. And I think part of the confusion, I think, may come from this gospel reading, because we read the Gospel of the Annunciation, where Jesus is conceived in the womb of Mary. But the reason that we read this gospel is because this is our biblical evidence that we have for the Immaculate Conception of Jesus. Or for the Immaculate Conception of Mary, excuse me, I'm getting things confused. The Immaculate Conception of Mary, because when the angel greets Mary, he says to it, in English we translate it, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." In Greek, it's "Kyrie Maria, ke charito meni ha kurios metasu." And what that literally means is the one, "Hail, one who has already been filled with grace." So the angel is acknowledging a reality about Mary, that even before the conception of Jesus in her womb, Mary has already been sanctified. She has already been filled with grace. And so, hail, full of grace. And so that's really where we root our belief in the Immaculate Conception is rooted here in Scripture. In this greeting that the angel, and who would know better than the angel? I mean, I'm sure God told him. So, but what does that do? Why did God conceive Mary Immaculate? Well, it's for what happens at the end of the gospel here. So the angel comes and says, God wants you to be his mother. And Mary's like, huh? Me? And it's like, yeah. And Mary's like, how can this be? I was planning on, being a virgin remaining a virgin. But the angel says, that's okay. Because it's the Holy Spirit that is going to overshadow you and the power of the Most High. And so Mary then says, what does she say? May it be done unto me according to your word. Mary gives her yes to God. And so Mary, in saying yes, Mary conceives in her heart and then in her womb. And that's the whole point, is because what is sin? But sin says no to God. Sin says, no, like Adam and Eve in kind of the first reading. They're like, yeah, that's an okay plan, God, but we want to do what we want to do. And so through that sin of Adam and Eve, this sin entered into the world for all of us. And so all of us are tainted. All of us are touched by that original sin. And so God preserved Mary immaculate so that she could give that complete yes without any no, and give everything of who she is to God. And when she does that, what happens? Mary conceives Jesus and opens up the floodgates of salvation to all of us. And so we can say with the angel, "Hail, full of grace." And in fact, you know, every time we pray the Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. We say that, "Hail, full of grace." So what does that mean for us? Well, because of Mary being conceived immaculate, and thanks be to God, she said yes, now all of us can be filled with grace as well. And so we receive grace in and through our baptism, but in that living and in that loving of God's holy word and living out that life of love, we can make that love visible then in the whole world and manifest the truth. And we say yes to God. May it be with Mary. We say, "May it be done unto me according to your word." That's what grace enables us to do. It enables us to say yes to God too. So let us really, today, let us really rejoice in this beautiful feast day and always remember, the beautiful yes that Mary gave, because that yes that she gave was really for all of us. And so we too can say with the whole church, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you."